Has it started? My life flows on in endless song above earth's lamentation. Sweet the far him that hails a new creation through all the tumult and the strife. I hear the music ringing, it finds an echo in my soul. What, how can I keep from singing? What though my joys and comforts die, my Savior still is living. What though the shadows gather round, a new song Christ is giving. No storm can shake my inmost calm, while to that rock I'm clinging. Since love commands for heaven and earth, how can I keep from singing? I lift my eyes, I see the blue above him, and day by day his pathways moves, since first I learned to love him. The peace of Christ makes fresh my heart, a fountain ever spring. All things are mine, I am Christ. How can I keep from singing? My life flows on in endless song above earth's lamentation. I hear the sweet over of him that hails a new creation. Through all the tumult and the strife, I hear the music ringing. It finds an echo in my soul. How can I keep from singing?
Amen. Thank you, Barbara, for that beautiful opening to worship. We give thanks for your leading us and for your gifts in singing. That was beautiful. And a beautiful way to start this worship service. I want to welcome all of you to this time of worship. This is the day that God is making. This is the day that God is creating. And we are rejoicing and we will be glad in it. We are glad to welcome each of you to this service of worship. Even though we're not physically gathered in one space, we give thanks that we can gather in the Spirit and in Jesus' name across distance. So one of the things I want us to remember this morning is that houses of worship are not essential. Houses of worship are not essential, but our faith is, our love is, our care for one another is, our worship is, and we can do those things. If we remember, we can ask the question, what is essential to God? What is essential to God? What does the Lord require of us? That prophet Micah asks to do justice, to love kindness, to walk humbly with God. Those are essential things. Those are essential things to God. And we can do those things without meeting together in a house of worship. And so we give thanks for that. Even if we're sad to not be able to be together physically, we can still worship and connect with one another in the spirit. And we give thanks for that. So welcome, friends, to this time of worship. I just want to say a few words about the service. And first of all, I want to remind you, if you missed last week's service, which we all did because Zoom crashed on us, unfortunately. And we did, however, we were able to put together just a small service where Deb Burnham was preaching for us and preached on a beautiful sermon on Wendell Berry's prophetic witness for our time. And Pax recorded just a couple songs to accompany that sermon. So if you would like to listen to that, you can go to our website on the sermon page and listen to that sometime this week. I highly recommend it since we missed that time last week. We give thanks that seems like Zoom is working today. So we're thankful for that. In our service today, first, I want to welcome you if you're visiting with us for the first time. Thank you for being with us. You are welcome to introduce yourself on the chat feature. We'd love to hear if you're here for the first time, if you feel comfortable sharing that with us. Another way you can let us know you're visiting is to email me directly. You're welcome to do that as well. My email is tabunitedpastor@gmail.com. So you can send me an email just to let me know your name and if a little bit about yourself if you feel comfortable doing that. We'd love to welcome you by name and to acknowledge your presence here. So thank you for joining us if this is your first time. Following the service today, we are going to have a virtual coffee hour. So we give thanks for Buki and Vic who are going to host that time. We invite you to just stay on after the service. You can just you can grab some coffee or some snacks if you'd like and just stay on. And we'll have some time to fellowship together. There will also be a breakout room if we have interest for another group to form to do some more intentional reflection about the service today. So if you'd like to be a part of just the kind of laid back hangout time, or if you want to be in more intentional conversation with folks, reflection time, you can do that as well. So we just invite you to stay on and to join us for that time after the service. Finally, I want to offer a special welcome and thanks to Ana del Corazon this morning, who is preaching for us and bringing us the word. Ana is joining us all the way from Iowa this morning. So this is a great joy that she can share through the Zoom feature or for this medium to be able to share with us. Ana is from Philly. She is born to Puerto Rican parents. And so Philly is her hometown. And she is a dear friend of us at Tabernacle United Church. Ana and her spouse, Gina, and their child, Tonio, became a close family to our family of faith over the past couple years. And even though we had to say goodbye to them as they moved to Iowa, they have remained connected and very dear to us as at Tabernacle United Church. Ana brings a deep love and passion for God and God's people and God's creation. And she herself claims she is a beloved child of God with whom God is well pleased. And we affirm that claim. And we remember that is a claim. We affirm that claim on her life. We affirm that claim on our lives this morning too. So thank you, Ana, for bringing us the word. We really look forward to hearing from you. So now we're going to transition into our time of worship. I invite you to prepare your hearts. Let's open up our hearts and our spirits to what God is speaking to us this morning. Let's call ourselves to worship.
Come into this space made holy by our words. Come into this space made holy by our need for each other. In this new space, this peculiar time, be prepared for surprises. God's actions are not always what we remember. God's words to us are not always what we expect.
Good morning, everyone. I invite you to sing some songs of praise together. We're thinking about ascension this morning, so I thought of Be Lifted by Micah Stampley. Let's sing together.
Jesus, we lift your name on high, your name on high, be lifted high. Jesus, we lift your name on high, your name on high, be lifted 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 high in all the earth, be lifted high, be lifted high, be lifted high. Be lifted high in all the earth. Cristo, tu nombre alabaré, alabaré, te alabaré. Cristo, tu nombre alabaré, alabaré, te alabaré. Alabaré, alabaré, alabaré. Tu nombre alabaré, alabaré, alabaré. Alabaré, tu nombre alabaré. Jesus, we lift your name on high, your name on high, be lifted high.
Amen. This morning we have another Ascension hymn that we're doing in a slightly different way. This is a Rick Found song that you might be familiar with from long ago. But we're doing a new version that focuses on Jesus's subversive ministry in his life.
Lord, we lift your name on high. Lord, we love to sing your praises. You're calling us from death to life, and out of the depths you raise us, Jesus. You came from heaven to earth, a lowly babe, from the earth to the streets to show the way, turning tables, calling out, healing all the world passed by. Lord, we lift your name on high. We lift your name on high.
Sing that again.
We lift your name on high. Lord, we lift your name on high. Lord, we love to sing your praises. You're calling us from death to life, and out of the depths you raise us, Jesus. You came from heaven to earth, a lowly babe, from the earth to the streets to show the way, turning tables, calling out, healing all the world passed by. Lord, we lift your name on high. We lift your name on high. We lift your name on high.
Here's our opening prayer. God, you have given many of us a place of refuge, a safe haven where we can wait. Help us live gratefully in that space. Help us remember the millions who have no safe space, no haven, no refuge. Help us pray thoughtfully and humbly for those who are lost, for those who feel abandoned by your grace. Help us pray for them. whether they are thousands of miles away or in our own houses. Amen. Please join me in the prayer of confession. God, we confess that we have failed to be thankful for what we have. Too often we measure our lives against unreasonable desires. We allow ourselves to want and ask and feel bereft whenever we barely realize all that we have. We have focused on our own losses without remembering that others have lost everything. We grow angry at those who prescribe thoughtless cheer. We grow frustrated when told to simply count our blessings. God, help us find the complex joy that grows from deliberate gratitude. Help us find the relief that grows from hard spiritual labor, the effort to see what is, not what we wish it to be. Help us stop and think, then pray. Amen. People of God, hear these words of assurance. The God who created us as beings with desire will not abandon us, even when our desires become unmanageable. The God who made us capable of gratitude will recognize our faltering efforts. The God who made us capable of endurance will not leave us alone. God stands near, never forsaking us. Thanks be to God. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are set free.
We are set free, and we give thanks this morning that Jesus is among us. I invite you to join in a song of praise together. We are standing on holy ground.
We are standing on holy ground, and I know that there are angels all around. Let us praise Jesus now. We are standing in his presence on holy ground. We are standing in his presence on holy ground. Amen.
We are standing in the presence of Jesus, who brings us peace this morning, offers us peace. And so we receive that peace of Christ, and then we pass that peace on to one another. So you can do that now. Go to your gallery view, if you will, see each other, and let us pass the peace of Christ with one another.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning. Peace be with you.
You
should be unmuted, Andy. You should just be able to talk. You should be able to talk, Andrew. The only way to talk is to talk.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Andy Weiss here.
Good morning, Andy.
Happy birthday, Amanda.
Happy birthday, Amanda.
Happy birthday.
Hi, Geneva. Hi,
Geneva. Good morning.
Good morning, Lisa.
Hi, Amber.
Morning.
Hi, Sharon.
Good morning, Sharon. All right.
Good morning, Barbara. Barbara Tilly, hello.
Oh, good morning, Barbara.
Well, there's Priscilla.
Hi, Barbara.
Hi, Priscilla.
Good morning, Barbara.
Good morning, Vic.
Good morning, everyone. Let us celebrate together Amanda's birthday.
Yay! Happy birthday, Amanda.
Yay! This will happen.
Our first reading is from 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 through 15, and chapter 5, verses 6 through 11. And I'm reading from the New International Version. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice in as much as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when Christ's glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. If you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or thief or any other kind of criminal, or even as a meddler. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that God may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on God, because God cares for you. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of grace, who called you to God's eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To God be the power forever and ever. Amen. Holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God.
Come and see, come and see. I am the way and the truth, said he. Follow me, follow me. Come as a child, oh, come and see.
Hello, young ones. This is the time, if we were at church, that we would invite the young ones to come way up front. So if you are a young one or young at heart, feel free to come closer to the screen right now, because this is your chance to draw close. My name is Nicole, and my co-leader today is...
Elliot.
That's Elliot's name. And we're so glad to be joining in from Maine. We moved from Philadelphia to Maine last summer, and it's been really nice during this coronavirus time to be worshiping with all of you. So I wanted to share that I have a job at an organization that tries to support religious leaders. And one of the things we've been talking about during the coronavirus is the way in which our churches have been kicked out of the building. And so we're needing to do a lot of things as a church community without what our building provided. So I've been thinking a lot about how we think about and relate to God when we don't have a church to go to, and when we're staying at home to keep ourselves and others healthy. So this morning, I asked Elliot, what's something that we have at our house that reminds him of church? And what's something that reminds him of God? So he's going to do a little show and tell for you.
So here's what reminds me of God, because it's our house, because God is all around us.
So he took a picture. Whose camera is this?
Mine.
This is a dated digital camera, which has become Elliot's. And so he took a picture of our whole house.
And this bird book reminds me of church, because church is like a bright place.
And birds sound bright to you?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So those are Elliot's show and tells. If some of you want to chime into the chat box, I wonder if any of you have objects in your house that remind you of church or of God or of both. Might be the same thing. It might be a different thing. And this is not just for young people. This is for everyone who's on the line today. If you want to chat into the box some of those things, name or describe those meaningful objects, this is what I brought for me. So the first thing actually I'm going to share is this is a chalice that was given to me by my aunt when I was ordained. And this reminds me of the church.
Aunt Laurie?
Yeah, Aunt Laurie gave me this. Yep. And she really thought it was pretty cool that I went to seminary. So when I graduated and was ordained, this was my gift. And it reminds me of the church because I love communion so much. It's a time when I feel like our hearts are beating as one, or something, some metaphor like that. And then the thing that I took off our wall that reminds me of God that's in our house is this picture. And I bought this in Colorado. I was on a trip and it'd been a really tough year. And I just thought it was so beautiful that the photographer, I don't know how this picture happened. I'm guessing maybe there was a spring snowstorm and there was still this one flower peeking out from the snow. But I love that it's missing petals and the photographer still noticed it. So that makes me think of God in the way that even if we feel like we're missing a few petals.
I don't think it's a picture. I think it's a painting.
No, this is a photographer. I went to his workshop in Colorado. It's actually a picture. So it really happened. It wasn't just in someone's imagination. But even if we feel like we're missing a few petals, I feel like God still notices our beauty and loves us. So that reminds me of God. Thank you to those of you who put in a few things. People shared a hymnal, a stained glass window that they have at their house. Oh, a butterfly toy. That's beautiful. Very nice. Oh, we're hearing Nessa has a monkey that reminds her of God because she loves it. And I'm sure that monkey loves her right back. Beautiful. Thank you all for sharing some of those things. People, if you want to keep chiming some in, we can keep reading them as we go. Thank you for listening to Elliot and my spirituality at home show and tell this morning. Will you come do the prayer with me? Can you come down lower so people can see you? Oh, and I love this meditation corner. I think these are the sorts of things we might need to do right now, is pull some of these objects, put them in a special place, and find ways to honor them in this time. Okay, Elliot, will you repeat after me? Anyone else is welcome to repeat after me during this prayer too, okay? Dear God.
Dear God.
Thank you for surrounding us.
Thank you for surrounding us.
And bringing meaning.
And bringing meaning.
To our lives.
To our lives.
Amen.
Amen.
You are a child of God. You are a child of God. Let your light shine bright to the world. You are a child.
This morning for our middle hymn, I wanted to share a favorite song of mine with you all that we've never sung at TAB before, but I think you'll learn quickly, In Lonely Mountain Ways, based on Psalm 121, I believe. In lonely
mountain ways of this world's trial and care. My heart knows not of fear-scarred days. Jehovah's hand is there. My journey may be long, the pathway rough and steep, sufficient for each day my song, my way the Lord does keep. And though when evening falls, a stone my pillow shapes, the vision of our kingdom calls, and here a Bethel makes.
Let's sing In Lonely Mountain Ways.
In lonely mountain ways of this world's trial and care, my heart knows not of fear-scarred days. Jehovah's hand is there.
Jehovah's hand.
Jehovah's hand is there.
I'm going to read from Acts 1, 1 to 11. In the first book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus did and taught from the beginning, until the day when he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. This, he said, is what you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom up to Israel? He replied, it is not for you to know the times or periods that God has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. When he said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going and they were gazing up towards heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up towards heaven? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. Holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. God, I pray that you speak through me and that you would speak in spite of me, and that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our heart would be to your glory, O God, our rock and redeemer. Amen. First, I want to thank Pastor Katie for giving me this opportunity to share a few words with the TAP community this morning. It is a great honor to serve the church in any capacity. But I must be honest, what started out as pure excitement in preparing this sermon quickly turned into panic. When Pastor Katie sent me the lectionary or suggested Bible verses for this week as inspiration for the sermon, I immediately started to doubt myself and questioned Pastor Katie's judgment. Who am I to speak about God and Jesus? What authority do I have up here speaking to you? I haven't studied the Bible seriously or deeply in over 20 years since I was an evangelical Christian. It's only been a little over a year since my family and I started attending Tabernacle, and since I've returned to a Christian church. As the panic settled and I sat with my feelings, all my feelings, I realized two things. I don't know if you know this, but we're in the middle of a pandemic. And even though I am a full-time stay-at-home parent with no current outside employment, I am now homeschooling my child, and I don't have time to become a biblical scholar as much as I would like to, or even read a book about Jesus' ascension and try to give you a book report. If you know me, conducting an in-depth research project on the ascension would feel great and easier than allowing God to speak through me this morning. Second, as I sat with my thoughts for this sermon, to my surprise and delight, my 18-year-old self showed up and sat with me in judgment, whispering very discouraging words. I got writer's block as I grappled with feelings of shame about who I am today and how much I've changed. Because at 18, I had everything figured out, or at least I thought. My faith back then was full of answers. Life was black or white, right or wrong, saved or not. There was no ambiguity, no room for doubts or questioning. And although I've changed, evolved, even grown tremendously in 25 years, yes, I'm 42, I feel like many view me as a lost child of God. I resist that characterization. And sometimes that resistance comes up when I read certain Bible verses now. Anything that hints of judgment or exclusion or feels like the rigidity of my previous life as a Christian, I struggle to find the metaphor and meaning in those passages, some of which were read today. Stubbornly arguing against this literal to the point where a friend recently told me, Anna, you need to check your baggage, your Pentecostal baggage. Which brings me to another point. Pastor Katie kindly asked me to preach, but never asked me that million-dollar question, the question that was the center of my faith when I was a child, when I was a Pentecostal Christian, a question I have yet to hear since I started attending TAB. Have I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior? I told a childhood friend this story, a friend who also left the church many years ago, and she was surprised and shocked by this as well. She's like, how liberating. Those types of Christian churches exist? She asked. I said, yes, they do. So here I am, a child of God who has returned to Jesus, holding on to my 18-year-old who's scared and concerned about my soul and my afterlife. She thinks I'm a heretic, and maybe I am. 18-year-old Anna doesn't know where I've been and who I am today. And like this story of the disciples witnessing Jesus being carried away by a cloud, part of me is still looking towards heaven, staring at Jesus, mesmerized by his supernatural power and departure, but also confused, scared, and bereft, as I imagine the disciples felt at that moment. It makes sense that the disciples were feeling all these feelings of grief. Why wouldn't they be? They have spent the better part of 3 years following their teacher, the person whom they've gotten to know and love deeply, with whom they have broken bread and shared meals, whom they've listened to preach and teach many days and nights, the humble but righteous Son of God who healed the sick, fed the masses, showed them how to live in community, care for the marginalized, forgave those who wronged them. Their beloved leader who taught them how to live a godly life and thus experience and know salvation here on earth. And by salvation, I mean to to know wholeness, to experience an abundant, eternal, joy-filled life in the here and now. He was gone. The disciples witnessed the death and resurrection of Jesus. And for 40 days after, Jesus appears and disappears to his disciples and others to show proof that he is alive and well. On this day, on the 40th day of post-resurrection, Jesus' life on earth ends and he returns to God. Jesus, your and leader, is gone. And maybe this time for good. And like all of us who have lost a loved one, I imagine the disciples were in shock, in disbelief, questioning everything, including their faith. The truth is, we human beings don't want to be left. We don't want to lose our loved ones. Heck, we don't even like change. And I imagine neither did the disciples. I want to take this moment, this opportunity, this space to pause. One of the many gifts of parenting for me is how my young child forces me to slow down and notice things and feelings that I would prefer to skip over. Every day, my child says, "You know, Nina Carla died. Mama, why did Carla die?" I never really know what to say or how to respond or how to answer him, but I put some words together and respond as best I can. Our beloved friend and chosen family died suddenly and unexpectedly at the beginning of quarantine. My son Donio's questioning and remembering has forced me to acknowledge and deal with my own grief, but also our collective grief of the lives lost through this pandemic. There has been an absence of collective national mourning, either because our national leadership doesn't see and recognize or value all lives and view all Americans as kin, and or maybe because those who have died from COVID-19 are disproportionately urban, people of color, immigrants, the undocumented, the incarcerated, the elderly in nursing homes and state care facilities, the poor, the uninsured, the chronically ill, service and delivery people. As Mickey Makaya wrote in the Washington Post, national mourning rituals are dependent upon who the dead are and what they represent. Even if the dying is just beginning, there has been little to no public rituals to acknowledge our losses. Just this morning, the front page of the New York Times is dedicated to the nearly 100,000 American lives lost to the pandemic so far. We have not only lost our loved ones, we are also mourning the loss of rites of passage and the life BC before Corona. Yesterday, I saw my nephew's high school graduation via Zoom. So did he and his family. Weddings and family gatherings have been canceled. The ways we gather, learn, organize, relate, commune has changed. Our routines have been upended, and we're in this in-between space where the old normal is gone and the future is uncertain. We must give ourselves and each other the space to grieve and lament all those losses and acknowledge the space we're in. It's okay and appropriate to cry in pain and despair when we're scared, anxious, sad, hurting, at loss, don't feel God's protection and love. This is not the absence of faith. To lament is to trust and love. To lament helps us withstand the suffering that life sometimes brings. These last 2 months have felt strange, yet there is something very powerful about this time. This in-between period is not unlike the time we speak of in this Bible story during Jesus' ascension. I know for me that even though I live a relatively privileged life where my family and I can shelter in place and where we're able to function with limited physical contact with the outside world, I'm tired, fatigued really, scared sometimes, in denial to be able to function daily, angry most of the time, but also sad. As I cycle through the stages of grief, I take comfort knowing others are with me, feeling and going through what I am going through. I take comfort in knowing that the disciples probably felt similarly as they stared up into heaven, wondering what the heck is going on and feeling scared and uncertain about the future and what it holds. Before his final departure, the disciples asked Jesus, "Lord, will you save us now? Will you liberate us now?" And I wonder the same thing some days. When will this come to an end? When will evil stop reigning and justice be served? When will the kingdom be restored? Jesus says, "It's not for you to know when." But he reassures them that they are not left alone. He says, "You will receive the power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And so you can continue my work." It's just like Jesus to give us support and comfort during this time of grief, maybe desperation, but also remind us that there is work to be done. I do not want to rush the grief process. As 1 Peter states, there is a fiery ordeal taking place among us to test us as though something strange is happening to us, all of us. But this is not that kind of test, the kind that proves that you're worthy of love and salvation. You already have that. You are loved and saved. Remember to call on your anxiety, a natural and normal feeling at this time, on God, and get help or meds if you need to. Because God cares for you, and so do we. God loves you and doesn't want us to suffer. However, both divine love and suffering are a part of life, of living on earth. My sisters and brothers and siblings, even as we grieve and make space to honor the fallen and the loss of the life we knew, may we also make space to imagine and work towards a new life, a different life. A life that is life-affirming, that honors the earth, takes care of the marginalized, redistributes wealth, seeks justice, where we are in right relation with each other and all living things. It is important to remember that this too shall pass, that we must cling to hope and to God relentlessly. The Spirit does come and show up and move the grieving through into Spirit-filled work and deeper love. We need to grieve and also remember that it's not going to always be this way. And when it's appropriate, God will nudge us forward. Our God of liberation and love, in whom we find hope and life, wants to protect us. We are all experiencing collective grief without being able to be physically together. Yet we are never alone. God is with us. Borrowing from the words of Pastor Talitha Arnold, like the disciples, may we feel clothed in God, especially in this time. May we clothe ourselves in God's love as we overcome despair. May we clothe in God's compassion to stay open to the needs of others. May we clothe in God's wisdom to know what we must do and clothed by the power of God's courage to do it. Most of all, may we be clothed with the power of God's presence that holds us, comforts us, connects us even in isolation and quarantine. No matter where we are, we need to let God wrap us in power and hope, love and wisdom, this day, every day. So say we all. Amen.
thine's the glory. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Thine's the glory. Revive us again. Hallelujah. Thine's the glory. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Thine's the glory. Revive us again. Hallelujah. Thine's the glory. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Thine's the glory. Revive us again. Revive us again.
This is the time in our service where we have a little ritual and we give our tithes and offering and we share the gifts that have been given to us with others. So we encourage you now to give electronically. You can text any amount to 84321. That's 84321. Or you can visit tabunited.org/donation. And we just remember, as Elliot said, that the church is a bright place that we carry with us wherever we are. Amen.
I invite you to sing this song by Andre Crouch, if you know it.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless God's holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all God's holy name. God has done great things. God has done great things. God has done great things. Bless God's holy name. God has done great things. God has done great things. God has done great things. Bless God's holy name. Bless the Lord, bless the Lord. Oh, my soul, and oh, that is within me. Bless God's holy name. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. God, all creatures here below. Praise God above, ye heavenly hosts, Creator Christ and Holy Ghost. Amen.
This is the time in our service where we usually collect the gifts, the tithes and offering that have given to us, and we offer a prayer of dedication. And I urge you to just recall to yourself Anna's words that we are continuing Christ's work, that we have an opportunity here for a new life, and that in our laments of one another's suffering, of the suffering of our friends, our siblings in Christ who have gone before us, and our remembrance, we offer our gifts to God to continue Christ's work. Amen.
Amen. Friends, we're now moving to a time of sharing, which is something we do every week, although in a little bit of a different way. It's always a joy to actually hear one another's voice, share the prayers that are on our hearts. But to make it a little bit more orderly and more accessible, we do this through the chat feature so that everyone has a chance to write their prayers into the Zoom group chat. So I invite you to begin to do that now. You're welcome to share any joy you have today, any concern that you have. You're welcome to share your grief if you feel like you can put that into words. And this is a time that we open up the space to share our grief, to be lamenting, as Anna already shared with us and also witnessed for us, that this is a holy space, that grieving is holy, that grieving is an act of faith. It is actually an act of resistance to the kind of denial that denies life and erases people's lives. When we are silent, that is, we are erasing people's lives. And so this time to grieve, to voice our grief, is holy. It's important. So I invite you to do that if you feel that that you can do that in your words. You can also bring joys. You can bring your struggles to God and to our community. And we will be lifting these up together and carrying these burdens together. So I'm going to begin to read what is coming through. So I invite you to just be in a place of prayer. We'll listen to one another's prayer concerns as they come in. I will read them out loud, and let us, after every concern that comes in or every joy that comes in, we'll say, God, in your mercy. And I invite you in your home to just say, repeat, or after you hear God in your mercy, to say with me, hear our prayer. And that in hearing that, we're acknowledging that we hear one another, that we hear these prayers together and are lifting them up. So let us pray. Susan Teagan, for a colleague's beautiful sister who is in danger from serious mental health issues, and for all who have amplified mental health suffering during this pandemic, God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. From Geneva. The mother of a friend of mine died of COVID a month ago, and today her name was listed on the front page of the New York Times. She was thrilled. There is redemption. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. From Anna. Joy. My nephew, Halon Antonio Lumar, graduated from high school. We are so proud. Amen. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. From Lucinda. Someone stole a check from the mail and forged it. We are fine and taking action, but I can't help but think about whoever did it. I pray they find a new beginning and can find a way to meet their needs. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. From Jim Gerhard. Prayers of thanks for my brother Andrew, who has recovered from the coronavirus, and a prayer of thanks for Anna, whose fears about preaching were clearly unfounded. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. From Deb Burnham, I give enormous thanks that my daughter, a pediatric nurse, tested negative for COVID this week, along with the whole staff of her clinic. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. From Michelle and Amanda, a joy. I thank God, especially on my fiance's birthday, for the gift of a sacrificial, dedicated, and loving partner. Her life is a beautiful reminder of God's abounding grace, giving me more than I could ever dream or ask for. Amen. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. From Susan Wargo, a joy. We give thanks that our daughter, Katie Catherine, turned 40 yesterday. We give thanks and feel blessed that she is our daughter. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. From Ana del Corazon, we moved to our new home Saturday and we haven't started packing. Please pray for us. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. From Ray and Elizabeth, a joy. Elizabeth's sister is getting married on Saturday in a tiny, safe ceremony. We are so happy for her and her fiance. Amen. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. From Chris Page, for more than one loved ones who are being blocked from getting essential medicines by heartless bureaucracy, who care not for the potential harm of folk who struggle with mental illness. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. From Ana del Corazon, as states are opening up and folks are going out for Memorial Day, I pray for all those who are vulnerable. May God protect and be with them. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Thank you to all of you who wrote in these prayers, and we will be lifting up these prayers this week, both these ones that were spoken as well as the ones I know that are also on our hearts and remain silent in our hearts. Let's gather these prayers together and sing a song as we lift them up to God.
In singing this song, I invite you to find a quiet space or a meditation and a different inner rhythm as we sing together. Feel free to sing in Spanish or in English.
Espante, quien a Dios tiene, nada le falta, nada te turbe, nada te espante, solo Dios basta. Let nothing trouble, let nothing frighten, those who seek God shall never go wanting. Let nothing trouble, let nothing frighten, God alone fills us. Nada te turbe, nada te espante, quien a Dios tiene, nada le falta. Nada te turbe, nada te espante, solo Dios basta. Quien a Dios tiene, nada le falta, nada te turbe, nada te espante, solo Dios basta.
let us continue in prayer. Gracious God, you are near to us right now in this moment. We have heard the prayers of your people, and we carry more prayers. We carry them to you now. God, we remember that, as the psalmist says, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted. The Lord saves those who are crushed in spirit. Jesus himself said, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted." And so, God, in our day, in this day, in this week, in this time, let us not be afraid to check in with our grief, to acknowledge loss, and to lament, because lament is the cry of the faithful. We thank you for Anna's words to us this morning that remind us of that. Sometimes, God, we know we just need a reminder to check in with grief, to not live in denial, but to acknowledge, God, that there are 100,000 people in the U.S. alone who have lost their lives. This is a staggering number. Many of us know people by name or know people who know people. Some of these people are our families. Some of these people are friends or community members. We acknowledge to you this loss, O God, and we bear it up to you. And we know that you carry it with us and that you do not want us to suffer, but that you walk through this with us and you are bringing us through it. So God, we thank you for that reminder this morning, and we continue to lift up and acknowledge our grief in this time. God, we pray for those who are working today. We pray for those, all those who are essential workers, who are working hard, sometimes overtime. We pray for those who are exhausted, stressed, for those with anxiety, for those who are lonely and isolated. Grant them your strength, your peace, your companionship. We pray for those who are not able to work, for the unemployed, for those who struggle to put food on the table, who struggle to pay rent. God, we pray for your strength, your relief, your release for them. May we also work so that none of God's children need to fear economic insecurity. And so we pray also for a just world and to help us, God, find our place in that world, find our work and our role in bringing about that world. God, this morning we also lift up the Thompson family and all those who are in sanctuary today. We pray that you would open up a way for them to win their cases, to be able to work and live without fear in this country. And so this morning we pray especially for Clive and Juanita, Timmy, Christine, and CJ who are in sanctuary, and for the many people, the many families who are living in sanctuary today. We pray, God, for every person connected to this worship today, in all of our homes where we're gathered together or maybe alone. We lift up to you all that we are carrying, all the burdens we have. You know us. You know our needs. Come, be our rescue in times of trouble. And when we need troubling from complacency, come, be our troubler. We need you, God, and we need your guidance today. So be with all of those here who are listening, connected to this worship service. We thank you for Jesus who comes to us, offers us words of peace, and sometimes disturbs our peace, offering us a way forward into newness. We thank you for Jesus who is our disturber and our comforter. And And we thank you for the prayer that he taught us. And so whatever version you know this prayer, whether that's in Spanish or English or whatever version you know and learned, please pray the Lord's Prayer with me. And if you don't know it by heart, you can read it on the screen. Our parent, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
You came from heaven to earth, a lowly babe, from the earth to the streets to show the way, turning tables, calling out, healing all the world past by. Lord, we lift your name on high. We lift your name on high. Your name on high.
Amen. Friends, I invite you to stay after this service, after the benediction, to talk to one another. You're welcome to just say hi for a few minutes, or you can stay for a little while. There's going to be a couple opportunities to talk and fellowship, and also some time to reflect, which is wonderful today, I think, to reflect on the sermon and the service. If we want to process a little more what's happening, what's resonating within us, you can do that as well. So just feel free to go take a break, get some coffee, some snacks, and come back. But before you go, please receive these words of blessing and benediction. And really, they come from Anna, who's already benedicted us in her sermon. But really, some of the last words she shared was to cling to hope. Cling to the hope that is before us and within us. So let's cling to those words, cling to hope, even as we are in this time and in the struggle together. Let us acknowledge that. Let us claim that grief and voice our grief and cling to hope at the same time. So let us go forward into our lives, clinging to hope, loving kindness, doing justice, and walking humbly with our God. Amen. Amen.
Hi, everyone.
Hey. Hello, everyone.
Hi, everyone.
Thank you for your sermon, Anna.
Thank you.
Yes. Thank you, Anna.
Yes. Yeah.